Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with Naturally Green at SaverLife.com. And a little bit of snow, bunch of rain, and some cool temperatures. We had some freezing temperatures over the last month, but somehow some roses are still blooming. It's really, it's kind of remarkable. And a neighbor of mine has some wild roses, not the multiflora invasive wild rose, but I think it's just four petals, pink wild rose. And there's a lot of buds on it. There's some fading flowers. There's some large buds that look like they're starting to open, and maybe they got hit by some of the freezes that we've had. But it doesn't seem to have damaged all the buds. They still seem protected. Now, they're not going to survive, winter. And they may not survive this next week, where it's going to stay below freezing for a number of days and get down in the mid-20s at night. So I'm gonna pick most of them and bring them in, and I'll have roses from my garden blooming in December. And given some of these buds and the fact that it's already December 5th today, it's conceivable I'll have buds from these roses that might not open until January, which would be, that'd be kind of cool. Although it's also perhaps a sign of warming temperatures that we have these plants that are not usually in bloom in December. So if you went to Maplewood Rose Garden, for example, today, which I don't think would be very crowded because no one's going to think about going to Maplewood Rose Garden. And I probably will stop by there some point today. I'll bet there are lots of roses still with buds and flowers on them. Now, you can't pick those, but you can go back and visit them. And, maybe go once a week and see how the roses are doing there. See how long they can last in Maplewood Rose Garden. Or maybe you have a neighbor with roses that you can watch, and you may be surprised that they are still, still have greenery on them and still have live buds. Even some, my neighbors have even some flowers. So again, it's kind of crazy to have roses in bloom in December, but I often remind people in the late fall, when you wouldn't think they'd be blooming, that with the diversity of roses that Maplewood Rose Garden has, there are bound to be some that are tougher than others. And generally it's shrub roses this time of the year, smaller buds, smaller flowers, more compact plants. And it's a reason to consider shrub roses for next year, that you might want to look for some and plant them. They tend to bloom much longer than the hybrid tea roses. The tea roses are hard to beat because of the size of the flowers. Some of them are very fragrant. They are some awesome colors. And Maplewood Rose Garden probably has, 300 varieties of them. But for low maintenance, not even to worry about the graft. So those hybrid tea roses are grafted kind of at ground level, and you got to protect that graft during the winter. So if you have some of these, you sometimes can get away without protecting the graft, but if it's a hard winter, it will probably die back, and you'll still have roses growing where that hybrid tea rose was, but they'll be from the root system, and usually those are kind of a single red rose, which is actually a very pretty rose. You can see these blooming in the summer around people's houses, and more than likely they are remnants of the hybrid tea roses, where the grafted part has died back and the root system has gone up to bloom. And sometimes bloom beautifully, usually for just a relatively short period, but gorgeous. And so they don't bloom that long during the season. So shrub roses, again, more compact, generally not grafted, smaller flowers, but many more flowers. You know, hybrid tea roses, sometimes you count, you know, a few flowers on them. The shrub roses, you can't count the flowers. There's so many of them. And they'll usually bloom for a much longer period, sometimes reblooming, sometimes kind of constantly blooming. There was one I used in my landscape business for a number of years because it was just the best one, called Bonica. And I think it's still available. Pink shrub rose, glossy leaves, so virtually never got any powdery mildew or some of those diseases. So glossy leaves, a good characteristic for a low maintenance rose. So go to Maplewood Rose Garden just to see the roses in December. And then think about some shrub roses maybe for your home in the spring. And the other thing, beyond bringing these cuttings of the roses indoors, is that I brought a tomato indoors, cherry tomato. One of our listeners did that last winter and updated me periodically during the winter. He was harvesting a couple tomatoes here and there in January and February and I think in March too. And he thought it was partly just this particular cherry tomato. I don't think he knows the varietal name on it. I should bring one over to Todd Lighthouse and see if he can identify. There's lots of different cherry tomatoes, but if anyone can identify which one this is, he might be able to. I've got one pretty red tomato on it. I've got one that is getting fairly red. I've got three or four other smaller green tomatoes. I've got four or five flowers on it. So I'm figuring it might survive until spring indoors with some flowers and maybe some tomatoes on it. So I don't have any artificial light for it. I'm not trying to see how many tomatoes I can have, but and they probably won't be that sweet. You know, it's the sunshine that really gives you the sugar, and so these will be very tart tomatoes. But this is a cutting that he rooted from the one that he overwintered last winter, and so it is, you know, a clone of the one he had, and seems to like being inside. Had it outdoors all summer, and now brought it indoors. So we'll see. So far, so good. And my goal is I'll eat this one tomato that looks pretty ripe here soon, and then the one that's getting ripe will be my January tomato, and looks like there's a large green one that'll be my February tomato, and maybe a smaller green one that'll make it to March, and then some of these flowers may develop. So it's nothing but, you know, a fun experiment to see what you can do. And, you know, that's partly why I garden, is to experiment with things. So we'll let you know how the tomato works. The tomato's name is Tom. This is Tom Jr., although, it's a direct clone of Tom Sr. And I want to thank our listener Brian for sharing the tomato with me, and I will take very good care of it this winter. It's right up in my office next to me while I'm doing my shows. And if you want to dream about what to grow next year, because you really need that kind of hope and diversion right now with the COVID numbers getting dramatically worse and the promise of a vaccine on the horizon, but it's not going to save many, many lives are going to be lost over this next couple of months. Perhaps looking at seeds and thinking about what you'd like to grow in 2021, a new year, new administration unfortunately, somehow, at least for me, looking at the Fruition Seeds website and reading about some of their new offerings for 2021 is an act of hope, you know, and also a diversion. So they've got some fun things coming in 2021. Some of these are newly developed. Some of them are heirloom plants that they're offering for the first time, or heirloom seeds. One of the best named plants is the organic dragon egg cucumber. And who wouldn't want a dragon's egg? Their notes about it say that their seed house operations manager brought one of these in for them to try from her own garden. It comes from Croatia, and these are fairly small fruit. So this is looks to be a pretty tiny cucumber, but they say sweetest flavor and smallest seeds in a cucumber. So, and maybe, you know, some of these seeds would make a nice holiday gift. You can certainly have them shipped to you now. You don't need to wait until spring or wait until winter or after January 1st. If you want to order some of these, they do not have retail open, but they are shipping all winter long. So a dragon egg cucumber has to be one of the best names. And one of the plants that I've grown it a couple times, but I'm not really a celery fan, and I don't think too many people are actually celery fans. But it's, you know, it's important in cooking, and sometimes it's good with peanut butter. This one I might grow just because it looks really cool, and it's called pink plume celery. And it's got bright green leaves and this like Swiss chard fluorescent pink stems. And all the stems are this color. And even if I don't eat it, I think I'm going to grow some just for the color. One of the notes they say about it says, great celery is not easy to grow. Here in the Northeast, pink plume, rather than focusing on large stem growth, shares an abundance of delectable, slender stems with vivid pink to burgundy blush. Absolutely beautiful. In soups, salads, tossed with roasted vegetables, easier to grow, more versatile than classic celery. And I have often grown Swiss chard or planted it in places where felt it was unlikely it was going to be harvested, but just wanted it for decoration. Especially if you can find a spot next year to plant Swiss chard, which has, you know, wider stems and is bigger than this pink plume celery, which you should try. But if you can find a spot where the sort of the late afternoon, early evening sun hits the stems of the Swiss chard, it's just such a beautiful colors on the some of the bright lights, which is one of the varieties of Swiss chard. So sometimes, you know, when you're looking at seed catalogs like this, Fruition Seeds, you choose some seeds, again, one to experiment with, like the dragon's egg, or to use differently than they are usually, like the celery. You plant it because you think it looks beautiful, and then you taste some of it, and you might decide that you actually like celery, and you'll end up eating some of this. But worth planting just for that color. They also have a number of new things like Brussels sprouts, snap beans. There's spray millet, which also might be grown just for decorative beauty. There's a bunch of lettuce and cabbage to check out. The Tramontino summer squash is crazy, curly summer squash, resistant to squash vine borer, which is, that's big. Squash vine borers often end the season for your zucchini and summer squash and other things much earlier than you'd want. And this Tromboncino, Tromboncino, there's a photo of Petra Page Mann holding some of these, and they are nearly full circle around. She's harvested a few that have some huge flowers on them too. It says the flesh is more watery and less sweet than classic butternut. So taste wise, this is, perhaps not the squash you want to rely on for winter, but this is a winter squash, they roasted it, made chips for snacking and things using this elongated, it doesn't look like a trombone, so I'm not sure how that translates. But again, this is heirloom Italian winter squash, and you should consider growing it. Well, two reasons. One, it's resistant to the squash vine borer, but also just because of the shape. It'd be fun to give some friends some of these. Lots of other heirloom plants and things that they've brought in to offer. And there's a tomato that just looks kind of crazy, the way the fruit hang on this plant. It's Pianolo, Italian heirloom. It says heritage as a beloved hanging tomato of Vesuvius, an heirloom selected for centuries in Italy's volcanic soils. It has phenomenally low water content as a paste tomato, fairly thick skins, allow her to be hung traditionally for months indoors to extend the season. Her concentrated flavor after even 1 month of hanging is heavenly. So it's Pianolo del Vesuvio. And again, I would normally not grow tomatoes like this that are have thick skins. It kind of looks the way it's hanging here like a cherry tomato, but it's a paste tomato with little tiny pointed end to the tomato. But I hadn't really heard about hanging tomatoes for a month to concentrate the flavor, and that's something you do with with meat, age it. So an intriguing plant to try. And the beauty of these things is that the seed packets are a couple of bucks each. So this one's $3.79. And you'll get about 25 seeds, it says. You can use some next year. You can use some the following year. They'll stay usable for a number of years, probably. You could share some with family and friends, start some of the plants and share them. So, again, lots of reasons to experiment with seeds this winter. They are an inexpensive way to kind of dream about what you could grow in 2021. And they have far more than just vegetables. There's a really cool Grandpa's Carnival Morning Glory. It's got some great colors. There's some beautiful scabiosa, an apricot peach straw flower, and these giant white zinnias, which are dahlia-like. So you can dream about far more than just vegetables. And these are just the new offerings that Fruition Seeds has. They have lots of herbs, flowers, and vegetables, and they also have a number of digital books, instructional books, and tons of videos that Petra has been posting over the last several years about pretty much everything related to growing plants and saving seeds. And they've been doing a garden club you can join with a subscription to a lot more content than it's just generally available. So again, maybe it's time to think about 2021 and what you could grow next year. I was speaking of things to grow or harvest next year. I planted garlic yesterday in our garden. Got some cloves from Lighthouse Gardens, and put in about 30 cloves in our vegetable garden. And those will probably sprout some green very early spring, and we'll harvest the scapes, the curly flower stems in May, and then we'll harvest the new bulbs in July, late July. So long as you can dig in the ground, and that is not a given that that's going to last. Certainly today you can, but there is some freezing weather coming for several days in a row. You may find it much more difficult to plant. It doesn't look like the ground's going to freeze for the winter at this point, so it might freeze for a week, and then you could still probably put some garlic in. As long as the ground's not frozen, you can plant that garlic. Last couple weeks, we talked some about Christmas trees and the fact that you should consider fir trees. And I would ideally cut your own. You just don't know when the cut trees have been cut. So usually they're fine. But to be sure, going to cut your own is a lot of fun. Usually the cut your own places have saws that you can borrow. So you don't need to bring a saw to do that. But the Rochester Public Market has their holidays at the market going on tomorrow. Was also last Sunday, and I think they'll have one more this week from tomorrow at the Rochester Public Market. Lots of trees and wreaths and things, and a whole variety of vendors. There'll be some wineries there. There'll be some bakeries. There'll be hot sauce producers, probably. And the people who sell crafts, and of course, lots of greens and trees and wreaths. One of the most also a reminder: the Brighton Farmers Market is open tomorrow, but they've limited their hours now through the Sunday before Christmas, and then they'll be closed for a couple months. It is only 10 to 11:30 at the Brighton Farmers Market, so just an hour and a half because of the fact it's colder up, and it's challenging as a vendor to be out there for 5-6 hours when we'd normally be indoor market about this time, and they don't want to do the indoor market because of the pandemic. So limited hours outdoors. You can check their website to see which vendors, and maybe check into ordering in advance for. I don't know if you still can for tomorrow or for next Sunday. You don't have to order in advance, but that's a way to make sure they have what you're looking for. So I did see a note. Todd Lighthouse will not be at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. They are running low on stock, and I think you can still buy directly through the farm. And it's lighthousegardens.com, I think. So, again, Brighton Farmers Market, much reduced hours tomorrow, 10 to 11:30. Sarah's Garden Center posted a couple photos of their ribbons and bows. And for years, I've said people should go out to Sarah's Garden Center to see their wall of ribbons. They have more options for ribbons than I've seen anywhere, and they can create a bow for you with them, or you can take the ribbon and do that yourself. Obviously, they have some gorgeous wreaths and trees, some indoor plants, some gifts. It's really a lovely spot this time of the year, and you should combine your visit, maybe head out today, and also go to Herd Orchards. They'll be open until 3. They're not open on Sundays this year due to the pandemic, but they're open until 3 today, and they are maybe 5 to 10 minutes away at most, just west of Brockport on Route 104. So, and they have their barn beautifully decorated. They've got jams, jellies, preserves, baked goods, pies, cookies. Their market has some amazing things. And they've just launched a couple of new offerings for the holiday season. They're doing a farmer's pantry kind of monthly or every other month shipment of kind of a mixture of what they do. So 3 or 4 items that they make are shipped each month and, or every other month. And that might make a really fun gift, especially, you know, for someone who maybe used to do canning and just loves, you know, to get or make jam. And Herd Orchards can do that for you. And the other thing is that they have such a variety of different things. So over the course of the year, you would end up with dozens of different items that they make, and you can read about them on their website, what is in each of these shipments. So again, the farmer's pantry, something people used to do. They used to make jam and can things, and so they'd have them for the winter. And it's there's some great recipes and things that you can use these items with. One of the great things about them is that they don't use as much sugar in their jams and jellies as a lot of other places do. And they are just the sort of the essence of the fruit. So check out the Farmer's Pantry at herdorchards.com and be a gift that would keep on giving in 2021 as people got their monthly shipments. It's not inexpensive, but it's kind of like a wine club or, you know, a CSA over the year where you are, it's a huge amount of food and really a great chance to explore the range of what they make. Something new for 2021 is their Farmer's Pantry. So, again, some great places to stop. And, you know, actually it was Sarah's Garden Center about 26 going on 27 years ago that helped me launch this gardening show. And I'm eternally grateful to them, Stephen and Kathy Kepler. They gave me a great vote of confidence, and it gives me great joy to see how they've prospered with the Garden Center in Brockport. It's such a lovely place, and especially during the holiday season. So stop out and see them. It's East Avenue in Brockport. We'll be back with the food show, Discover the Finger Lakes, as well this morning, and then tomorrow at the Grapevine, 9 a.m. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.